A word about the sleeping accommodation open to a homeless person in London. At present, it is impossible to get a bed in any non-charitable institution in London for less than sevenpence a night. If you cannot afford sevenpence for a bed, you must put up with one of the following substitutes. 1. The embankment. Here is the account that Paddy gave me of sleeping on the embankment.
The whole thing with the embankment is getting to sleep early. You got to be on your bench by 8 o'clock, because there ain't too many benches, and sometimes they're all taken. And you got to try to get to sleep at once. 'Tis too cold to sleep much after 12 o'clock, and the police turns you off at 4 in the morning. It ain't easy to sleep, though, with them bloody trams flying past your head all the time, and them sky signs across the river flicking on and off in your eyes. The cold's cruel. Them as sleeps there generally wraps themselves up in newspaper, but it don't do much good. You'd be bloody lucky if you got 3 hours sleep.
I have slept on the embankment and found that it corresponded to Paddy's description. It is, however, much better than not sleeping at all, which is the alternative if you spend the night in the streets, elsewhere than on the embankment. According to the law in London, you may sit down for the night, but the police must move you on if they see you asleep. The embankment and one or two odd corners, there is one behind the Lyceum Theatre, are special exceptions. This law is evidently a piece of wilful offensiveness. Its object, so it is said, is to prevent people from dying of exposure, but clearly, if a man has no home and is going to die of exposure, die he will, asleep or awake. In Paris there is no such law. There people sleep by the score under the Seine bridges, and in doorways, and on benches in the squares, and round the ventilating shafts of the metro, and even inside the metro stations. It does no apparent harm. No one will spend a night in the street if he can possibly help it, and if he is going to stay out of doors, he might as well be allowed to sleep if he can. 2. The Tuppenny Hangover. This comes a little higher than the embankment. At the Tuppenny Hangover, the lodgers sit in a row on a bench. There is a rope in front of them, and they lean on this as though leaning over a fence. A man humorously called the valet cuts the rope at 5 in the morning. I have never been there myself, but Bozo had been there often. I asked him whether anyone could possibly sleep in such an attitude, and he said that it was more comfortable than it sounded, at any rate better than the bare floor. There are similar shelters in Paris, but the charge there is only 25 centimes, a halfpenny, instead of tuppence. The Coffin, at 4 pence a night. At the Coffin, you sleep in a wooden box with a tarpaulin for covering. It is cold, and the worst thing about it are the bugs, which, being enclosed in a box, you cannot escape. Above this come the common lodging houses, with charges varying between 7 pence and 1 and a penny a night. The best are the Rowton houses, where the charge is 1 shilling, for which you get a cubicle to yourself and the use of excellent bathrooms. You can also pay 0.5 crown for a special, which is practically hotel accommodation. The Rowton houses are splendid buildings, and the only objection to them is the strict discipline, with rules against cooking, card-playing, etc. Perhaps the best advertisement for the Rowton houses is the fact that they are always full to overflowing. The Bruce houses, at 1 and a penny, are also excellent. Next best, in point of cleanliness, are the Salvation Army hostels at 7 pence or 8 pence. They vary. I've been in one or two that were as dirty as ordinary common lodging houses, but most of them are clean, and they have good bathrooms. You have to pay extra for a bath, however. You can get a cubicle for 1 shilling. In the 8-penny dormitories, the beds are comfortable, but there are so many of them, as a rule at least 40 to a room, and so close together, that it is impossible to get a quiet night. The numerous restrictions stink of prison and charity. The Salvation Army hostels would only appeal to people who put cleanliness before anything else. Beyond this, there are the ordinary common lodging houses. Whether you pay 7 pence or 1 shilling, they are all stuffy and noisy, and the beds are uniformly dirty and uncomfortable. What redeems them are their laissez-faire atmosphere and the warm, home-like kitchens, where one can lounge at all hours of the day or night. They are squalid dens, but some kind of social life is possible in them. The women's lodging houses are said to be generally worse than the men's, and there are very few houses with accommodation for married couples. In fact, it is nothing out of the common for a homeless man to sleep in one lodging house and his wife in another. At this moment, at least 15,000 people in London are living in common lodging houses. For an unattached man earning £2 a week or less, a lodging house is a great convenience. He could hardly get a furnished room so cheaply, and the lodging house gives him free firing, a bathroom of sorts, and plenty of society. As for the dirt, it is a minor evil. The really bad fault of lodging houses is that they are places in which one pays to sleep, and in which sound sleep is impossible. All one gets for one's money is a bed measuring 5 feet 6 by 2 feet 6, with a hard convex mattress and a pillow like a block of wood, covered by one cotton counterpane and two grey stinking sheets. In winter there are blankets, but never enough, and this bed is in a room where there are never less than 5 and sometimes 50 or 60 beds, a yard or two apart. Of course, no one can sleep soundly in such circumstances. The only other places where people are herded like this are barracks and hospitals. In the public wards of a hospital, no one even hopes to sleep well. In barracks, the soldiers are crowded, but they have good beds, and they are healthy. In a common lodging house, nearly all the lodgers have chronic coughs, and a large number have bladder diseases, which make them get up at all hours of the night. The result is a perpetual racket, making sleep impossible. So far as my observation goes, no one in a lodging house sleeps more than 5 hours a night, a damnable swindle when one has paid sevenpence or more. Here, legislation could accomplish something. At present, there is all manner of legislation by the LCC about lodging houses, but it is not done in the interests of the lodgers. The LCC only exert themselves to forbid drinking, gambling, fighting, etc., etc. There is no law to say that the beds in a lodging house must be comfortable. This would be quite an easy thing to enforce, much easier, for instance, than restrictions upon gambling. The lodging house keepers should be compelled to provide adequate bedclothes and better mattresses, and above all to divide their dormitories into cubicles. It does not matter how small a cubicle is. The important thing is that a man should be alone when he sleeps. These few changes, strictly enforced, would make an enormous difference. It is not impossible to make a lodging house reasonably comfortable at the usual rates of payment. In the Croydon Municipal Lodging House, where the charge is only 9p, there are cubicles, good beds, chairs, a very rare luxury in lodging houses, and kitchens above ground instead of in a cellar. There is no reason why every 9p lodging house should not come up to this standard. Of course, the owners of lodging houses would be opposed en bloc to any improvement, for their present business is an immensely profitable one. The average house takes £5 or £10 a night, with no bad debts, credit being strictly forbidden, and except for rent, the expenses are small. Any improvement would mean less crowding, and hence less profit. Still, the excellent municipal lodging house at Croydon shows how well one can be served for 9p. A few well-directed laws could make these conditions general. If the authorities are going to concern themselves with lodging houses at all, they ought to start by making them more comfortable, not by silly restrictions that would never be tolerated in a hotel.